Good morning. It's good to see you today. Appreciate your presence. We have, as usual, visitors among us, and we're thankful for that. We appreciate your presence. We hope that as you're with us, that you can be encouraged in the things of God as your presence encourages us. And we invite you to come back again tonight if you have that opportunity at 6 o'clock. And if you'll fill out one of our visitor cards, we'd appreciate that so we could have a record of you being here. I invite you to get a Bible and join each one of us as we study today together and hear what God teaches us that we can improve ourselves, that we can, as we prayed together with Brother Steve earlier, that we can perfect ourselves in our faith to maturity, to in faith and service to our Lord, doing His will. If you're here and you're not a Christian, then we want to encourage you to realize that this is an opportunity that God has given you. An opportunity today to be saved from your sins. Today, to be added to His church, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. We hope and urge you that this will be the day that you will in faith repent of your sins, that you will confess your faith that Jesus is the Christ, that He was raised from the dead, and to be baptized into Him for the remission of your sins. We want to help you accomplish that. We want to encourage you as a child of God, if there's sin in your life that you need to repent of, to not delay that, to face the reality of sin, to seek God's mercy through prayer. He's a compassionate, loving Father who will forgive us when we confess our sin to Him, when our heart is changed toward our sin as we repent, and then from this day forward bear that fruit of repentance in our lives. We urge you to do that. And if we can help toward that end, if there's something you need to address publicly, then we'll pray together and we're confident God will hear our prayers. We've been asked to and delighted to do some study this morning about hospitality. The Bible shows us that we're to be hospitable people. Hebrews 13 and verse 2 says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." Hospitality has always been a mark of God's people. And it is, as we begin to investigate it in the Scriptures, we learn that it certainly is not limited to the idea of an occasional potluck or a home visit. It goes much beyond that. And we want to find ourselves in God's Word of what God wants us to do and be, and realize that hospitality itself is an expression of the heart that loves one's neighbor as himself, and that loves God, and therefore responds in this particular way of an expression of that genuine care and concern and interest toward others. So what is, as defined in Scriptures, what is hospitality? And does God command it of us? Is it a commandment? Is it something that God is going to hold us accountable to in the day of judgment? Well, in the English definition of the word, it is the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. And we use the word in a variety of ways, words that derive from this idea. Of course, we have hospitals that serve the sick. So there's the idea of the receiving of those who are ill and attending to their care. Have you ever considered that taking care of someone who is sick is an expression of hospitality? We derive hospitals from that word. Hospitality suites in convention centers and hotels we're familiar with as they serve guests and clients. There's a whole hospitality industry in America, a multi-billion dollar segment of our economy. People can go to college and study the whole hospitality industry, get a degree to work in that service sector. But we're familiar with that word in those ways, but how does that apply to us, particularly from the Scriptures? Well, what is it? Hebrews 13:2. "Do not forget to entertain strangers," is as the New King James renders it. "For by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels," or without knowing it, have entertained messengers from God. The word itself means love of strangers. And it's a compound word, phileo, the word that is connected to a warm affection shown toward others, so that by definition it is to show us or have a special interest in someone or something, focused on close association, focused on affection, friend or friendliness particularly. And so we have love of brethren, love of strangers. We have women are taught, it's older women to teach younger women to love their husbands, to love their children. Those are both derivatives of phileo, the expression of warmth, of kindness, of friendliness. So when he says entertain strangers, he's first of all talking about having some focused affection, special interest that is directed toward the object. And of course, the second word is from the word we get stranger or foreigner, pertaining or being unfamiliar because of something that is unknown. So of course, we have our word xenophobia, fear of strangers. The idea here is not the fear of strangers, but to entertain strangers. That is to have an affection for, a friendliness toward, to have a concern for that expresses itself in the receiving of and assistance of strangers. That's how the word is defined. Let's see how it's used, and the concept is used at least. First of all, in the Old Testament, it's not in the Hebrew text, it's not going to use the same word, but see with me Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17 through 19. In Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, in the law of Moses, God speaks to Israel, and God commanded Israel to be hospitable people. He says, "The Lord your God is the God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt." So first of all, he calls upon the character of God, and that God loves strangers. He is mighty and awesome. He is the only God. He is an impartial God. He is a God of justice. And He is one who administers that justice to those who have need, the orphan, the widow. He loves the stranger. He does not shun Himself from the stranger. He does not ostracize the stranger. He does not separate Himself, but rather He loves the stranger. And so now He tells Israel that He gives the stranger food and clothing. Here's a practical application of God's love of the stranger. He gives the stranger food and clothing. God provides that because He loves them. Now, how does that apply to Israel? He says, therefore, love the stranger. What do you think He expected Israel to do? If Israel was going to love the stranger the way God loved the stranger, then He expected them to give food to the stranger, to give clothing to the stranger, to attend to the need of the stranger. That's how that love is expressed. And he builds his case upon God, upon himself, upon the very character of God. He expected Israel to love strangers. Secondly, he builds his case upon Israel's experience, because Israel had been strangers in Egypt. Israel knew what it meant to be a foreigner in a foreign land, to be in a place where they were not welcome. Well, for a time they were, but then they became very unwelcomed. They were strangers. They were foreigners. And because they had been in that place, now he calls upon his people to have empathy for the stranger, to give consideration, to give thought to the situation of those who were strangers among them. So, God commanded Israel to show hospitality, to have a concern for, to direct a directed concern that was applied particularly and specifically toward addressing needs that they would have when they were among them, because of God's character and because of Israel's experience. Well, God has also commanded us to be hospitable. He says, that we are to be distributing to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality in Romans 12 and verse 13. The idea of being given to is to pursue after. Make haste to find something. To run after it. When he says given to it. It's not some complacent attitude, but it is we exert ourselves toward it when he says given to it. And I think it's significant, the coupling that is in that verse. Let's get over there together and look at that. He says, distributing to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. Now, there's one way in which the collective distributes to the needs of the saints, but he's talking to individual Christians in this text. That we're to be distributing. We're to be aware of the needs of each other. Now, that takes communication. That takes interest. That takes concern for each other. And we're to be pursuing, then, hospitality. So now here's a context of the saints, where there is a love similar to what is given to the stranger that now finds an application among the saints, where we are focusing our attention and pursuing after opportunities to attend to particular needs that exist among our brethren. Again, we're exhorted to practice it, Hebrews 13 and verse 2. Do not forget. And we'll come back and look at that more in just a moment. So there's little doubt that God commands it of us. He expects it of us. It's something God authorizes of us. And so we're going to answer to Him for it. We're going to answer to God whether or not we are hospitable people. Whether or not we demonstrate a concern for the stranger. And express that concern in practical ways. Of consideration, of receiving them, of feeding them, of tending to them, of caring for them. That's the context, that's the concept of a heart that is given toward the concern of others. And so it expresses itself in hospitality. You see, that's going to find an application for us in how we live among each other and how we live among those who are strangers from time to time. But let's go to another passage, 1 Peter 4, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter 4, verses 8 and 9. It says, above all these things, have fervent love for one another. Now, he says that because the end of all things is at hand. We live in the last days. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. The last days began at the day of Pentecost and extend to the time of return of Jesus. We don't know when He'll come. He could come at any time. And because we understand the times in which we live, we're to be serious and sober in our prayers, and we're to have fervent love for one another. This is agape, verse 8. For love will cover a multitude of sins. This is that highest concept of love that is always benevolent toward and seeks the best of others. Then he says, be hospitable. Now he says, have a warm affection and a focused attention toward one another without grumbling. So we're to be hospitable people without complaining about it. And that's an important point. Again, we'll come back to it in a moment. So we're to be hospitable without grumbling, complaining, and murmuring about such. It's the quality of an elder. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2, the man who would seek the office of an elder seeks or desires a good work, and he is to, among other things, be hospitable. He is to have a love for strangers. He is to have a concern for and care of toward others that may be brethren or may not be brethren, as we're going to see as we go on in this study. Titus 1, verses 7 and 8 is an interesting explanation of this, where in verse 7 it says, of the bishop or the elder, the overseer, is not greedy for money, but hospitable. So it's said in a contrasting expression. Not greedy. Not greedy of filthy lucre, Peter talked about. But rather hospitable. So now we learn that hospitality comes to an attitude of our heart toward materialism. Toward material things. That if we are materially minded,
and put our emphasis upon material things, then we are tempted not to be hospitable. Because hospitality, by definition, is the rendering of material assistance or expressions of kindness in a material way. Food and clothing, Deuteronomy 10. That is hindered by an attitude of greed. If we're greedy people, we're not going to be hospitable people. You see that point? And that's explained in Titus when he says the bishop, instead of being somebody that's greedy for money, here's a person who is hospitable, who expresses that focused attention and care and concern for others in a material way because of an attitude of heart that exists toward those who come into his life that are brother stranger or brethren that are in situations of assistance and respect and honor, as we'll see. In fact, he goes on in Hebrews 13 where he tells us not to forget to entertain strangers, to be hospitable. But in verse 16, he will say, "Do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased." There's an element of sacrifice in hospitality. And we'll see that as we look at some of the illustrations of hospitality in the Scriptures. Mason read for us Genesis chapter 18. When the three men visited Abram. At the trees in Mamre, terebinth tree in Mamre, there at his tent. And you see Abraham rushing to give them honor, to give them attention. He describes himself multiple times as your servant. So here is this wealthy man, this powerful man, this well-respected man. And when these three strangers, whom he doesn't know because they're strangers, they're three men, they come before him and he immediately bows before them. "I'm your servant. Stay here, please. Let me attend to your needs before you go on, before you pass by." And so he hurries and goes to his wife Sarah, and she participates in this hospitality as she prepares cakes, and he finds an animal and has a young calf and kills it and prepares it, has one his servant do that. That takes some time. That takes some expense. You see, hospitality is like that. It takes some time. It takes some expense. It takes some concern for someone else. And all the other things that he prepares and then brings before them as they ate. In suggesting to us, Abraham didn't eat. He provided this feast for them and they ate. So there's a worthy illustration of hospitality. Lot in Genesis 19. Two of these men, who by the way are angels, they're messengers from God. Hebrews 13:2 has an application back in Abraham. He entertained angels unaware. And Lot now, similarly, these two angels who are described as men in 18:22 of Genesis, go to Lot in Sodom. And he also made them a feast, baked them bread, and they ate. He showed them hospitality, washed their feet, and he said, "Come in, spend the night here, stay with me." He refreshed them, he fed them, he protected them. As the story goes on, an amazing example of hospitality by Lot. That's not probably what we think of first of all when we think of hospitality. A stranger comes into town and we bring them in, we feed them. That's what the Bible describes. That's why I meant earlier, if we just think about hospitality in terms of, well, we got a potluck, let's all go or have someone over occasionally, which is good things and things we need to be doing. But it goes beyond that, you see. It expands beyond that. The old man in Gibeah, in Judges, when the Levite and his wife, the Scripture describes as his concubine, his secondary wife, they come through and it's near night and they're in the square of the city and he takes them in and again a horrible scene develops there, but he brought them in, fed them, cared for them until all the other circumstances surrounding that. But he was again an illustration of hospitality. Have you ever thought of the Good Samaritan as an example of hospitality? But look at it. In Luke, the 10th chapter, the Good Samaritan, the parable, was just that. Jesus teaching about loving your neighbor as yourself. And he asked Jesus, well, who's my neighbor? He wanted to justify himself. And so Jesus explained it to him about a certain man who came down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, departed, and leaving him half dead. So he's shamefully treated and beaten. And the priest and the Levite passed by on the other side. They're not very hospitable people, are they? They didn't have much care and concern for a friend. And after all, he was a Samaritan. I mean, you know, he'll get by best he can because we don't have anything to do with him. He's a Samaritan. I apologize. I'm getting my mind confused. I apologize. He wasn't a Samaritan. It was a Samaritan that came by and saw him and helped him. So the Levite, the priest, they passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So the Samaritan had compassion on the man, the Jew, in this situation. He went his way. It says he went to him and bandaged his wounds and poured oil and wine on them. And he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Here's the expression of loving his neighbor. Here's an expression of the care of a stranger, the love of a stranger. Took care of him. Well, the next day he departed and took out 2 denarii, gave to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. And whatever more you spend when I come again, I'll repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, well, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Hospitality is an expression of mercy as well. It's an expression of mercy. It's an expression of there's a care and concern and a need that exists, and you entertain that, you attend to that, is the idea of entertain. He said, you attend to that. You attend to the need that exists. Because that's what love does. And that's who we are to be as people of God who love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. Then we are aware of the situations of people around us, and where we have opportunity and occasion, then we respond. Because of who God is, and because, frankly, we understand what it means to have need ourselves from time to time, to be a stranger from time to time, to be someone who needs the help of another from time to time. And because, you see, we have those sorts of experiences, then we too are to be people who show hospitality. Martha, now look at the same text, and this is fascinating to me, because in that same text, right after the Good Samaritan parable, it happened that they went, as they went, he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She shows him hospitality. And she called, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now, the context of hospitality, and you see the bridge from the Good Samaritan to Martha as she receives Jesus into her house. She shows him kindness and hospitality. She attends to his physical needs, feeding, and yet we also see that what that does and what that entails, and also be careful not to allow that to overwhelm us with the truly more important things. The most important thing is attending to the soul. It's good to be hospitable, Martha. It's a good thing that you opened your house to Jesus. That's right and good and proper. But don't be so distracted in that you miss the real opportunity of sitting at the feet of the Master. So that in the opportunities of hospitality, there are even greater opportunities of spiritual strengthening that can occur. Of the exhortations of righteousness, of truth to one another, and to a stranger too, by the way. So it doesn't simply begin and end with the hospitality, but it becomes an occasion, an opportunity for even greater spiritual blessings to transpire and to occur. And we need to be able to see that and use them in that way as well. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus showed hospitality to Jesus. They didn't know it was Jesus. His identity was shielded from them, but as they drew near the village, he indicated he would go farther, and they constrained him and said, "Abide with us, for it's toward evening, the day is far spent." And he did. Of course, he went in, stayed with them, and sat at table at the bread, and he took the bread and blessed it and broke it, and then his identity was known, and he disappeared from their sight. But again, hospitality. We see it from cover to cover in the Bible, of attending to the needs and sharing in and helping and assisting people that may not know before that very time when that hospitality is shown. Now, let's look at a couple of failures to show hospitality. Simon in Luke 7. Jesus was invited to the house of Simon, the Pharisee, and you remember this is when the woman, crying at Jesus' feet, washed his feet with her hair and dried them with her hair and anointed them with oil. And Jesus uses this as an opportunity because Simon is within himself thinking, this man's not a prophet. If he were, he'd know what kind of woman that is touching him. He wouldn't be letting this happen. That's evidence to me he's not a prophet. And so Jesus taught him about compassion and mercy. And in the midst of it, we learn, and forgiveness. In the midst of it, he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered into your house and you gave me no water for my feet." Now, that's not very hospitable. I mean, that was just a common courtesy of the day. But when Jesus went into his house to eat, he didn't even wash his feet. She's washed my feet with her tears, wiped my feet with her hair. You gave me no kiss, a salutation of respect. You didn't show me even respect in that way, but she's been kissing my feet. And you didn't anoint my head with oil. There certainly was no action toward honor, but she's been anointing my feet. Simon was not a hospitable person. Consumed in his self-righteousness, all he could do was see a problem with Jesus and see a problem with the woman. Of course, he couldn't see any problem with himself. And that is exposed in his lack of hospitality toward others. It's a good lesson for us to think about. If we're not hospitable people, could it be that there are things that we need to look at ourselves? And could it be that perhaps we are critical of others when we ought not to be, and justifying ourselves when we shouldn't be? Something to think about. But recognize here this example of a failure to be hospitable. In Luke 9, 51 through 53, Jesus and his disciples he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He's in Galilee, he's traveling down to Jerusalem, and they go through Samaria. And he sent messengers before him. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. So Jesus is traveling, they're going to prepare for him, they're going to find some place for him to stay. And they did not receive him because his face was set on the journey to Jerusalem. So these Samaritans were not hospitable people toward Jesus. He had an agenda. He was on the way to Jerusalem. I should rather say they had an agenda. Their agenda was they weren't going to show any kindness toward that Jew who's traveling to Jerusalem. And so they lacked hospitality. Let's look at 3 John 5 through 8 for just a moment. 3 John 5 through 8, we're going to ask who should we show hospitality to? And the passage says brethren and especially strangers in this text. Let's look at it together. 3 John 5-8. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. The Nestle's Unified Text offers up what you do for the brethren and especially for strangers. So he's writing Gaius, and he tells Gaius, this faithful Christian, that you're being faithful in what you do for the brethren and especially for strangers. And some of the strangers he's talking about are brethren who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Because they went forth for His name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. He says we ought to receive with hospitality and encouragement faithful men who are preaching the gospel. Gaius, you have done that, and it is an encouragement and a witness, a testimony that is born to the church. So here is Gaius being commended for showing hospitality, receiving these brethren as they are going amongst the Gentiles preaching the gospel. And here's one of the things then. He says, remember back there in 1 Peter 4:8-9, he says, showing hospitality to one another. So we can show hospitality to one another. Not just a foreigner, but also to one another. Remember Jesus said when He commended those on His right hand in Matthew 25, the day of judgment, and they said, Lord, when did we see You a stranger and take You in? And He said, inasmuch as You did it to one of the least of these, My brethren, You did it to Me. So brethren, we can show hospitality toward. We show a focused concern, an interest in the need that exists, or an occasion of opportunity to be of service to each other. You know, there was a need to show hospitality to brethren for the spread of the gospel. Hospitality, I'm quoting now, a commentator said, hospitality was particularly crucial for the Christian mission in the day when lodging could not be afforded. And hence the advance of the mission depended on the willingness of believers to provide bed and board for those visiting. Just as Jesus sent His disciples out by twos to go in the cities He was going to come to. And He said, if you find some a worthy one there, then stay with them, whatever they provide you. So they the idea of taking the gospel around, they didn't have the Holiday Inn and the all of those opportunities. There were inns and things like that. But here are brethren who are to have an attitude of hospitality to receive those who have the gospel and are spreading the gospel. And say, well, that didn't affect us anymore. There's no application for us today. What about a gospel meeting? Receiving the preacher and caring for him. Maybe feeding him a meal. Something like that. Maybe strangers who visit us and attending to their needs. There absolutely are applications of this today, still in the terms of the spread of the gospel. Brethren come in for a while to preach in a particular location. That's an opportunity to attend to their needs and to help them as they help us in the spread of the gospel and such like that. That is a continuing and ongoing need for hospitality among brethren. Also, in the first century, there was the need, and then it was necessary to be hospitable to provide many of the occasions of location for assembly. Many of the churches met in homes. That was going to require that there was a form of hospitality shown to open up one's home for the brethren to worship. Well, I know that's occurred here. And the beginning in the infancy of this congregation, homes were used. A home was used to meet in to worship. Philemon 2 speaks of faithful brethren of the church that were in their home. In Romans 16, a number are mentioned there. And also, note that he says concerning this, when we're to be hospitable to one another without grumbling, without complaining, is the idea that, look at this. This commentator said, "The words, without grumbling, acknowledge that those who open their homes may grow tired of the service. Oh, they're just taking advantage of me. Oh, they're just, you know," and we start complaining about it. He says, "Therefore, they are exhorted to be hospitable gladly, not caving into the temptation to begrudge their charity to others." It's a real temptation when you show hospitality and then you begin to feel like you're just being taken advantage of. And so that becomes a hindrance, perhaps, a stumbling block, perhaps. And so he says, do it without complaining, without grumbling, without yielding to that temptation that could exist. Now he said, we haven't looked at this verse in this way. I want to very quickly. Hebrews 13:2. "Do not neglect," he said. "Do not neglect to entertain strangers." That is, do not be inattentive. To not be careless, to overlook, or to care nothing about this business of hospitality. He says, we have a direct statement from the Holy Spirit to be careful not to overlook being hospitable. Not to neglect. Not to be nonchalant. Not to be of those who care nothing about it. In other words, we are to give attention to it. We are to devote our attention to it. And here's where we can all improve ourselves. To give more attention to this idea of hospitality, of attending to and showing the care of for others, both brethren and strangers. Now, in the same word is used in Luke 12:6 of God, when it says He attends to the sparrows. The verse says, Luke 12 and 6, "Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God?" Same word as Hebrews 13:2. God does not forget a single sparrow. Now He tells us, you don't forget, you don't neglect, you don't become inattentive to hospitality. See, that's the application. We're to attend to the needs of each other. And others, and strangers as well. Not overlooking, not being careless toward it. Furthermore, again, the word is used in Hebrews 6:10, God will not overlook your service. God is attentive to what you do. He knows. He's aware. God is attentive. He is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love. So you be careful not to forget to be hospitable. To attend to and care for and provide for not only strangers but brethren as well. To do that, it's going to take some qualities, and then we'll end very quickly. It's going to take compassion. The Good Samaritan had compassion on the man who had been beaten and robbed. It requires compassion. But remember, that's exactly what God told Israel in Deuteronomy 10:19. You have been strangers in a foreign land. Now you show compassion. You have empathy. Hospitality is an expression of interest and concern that grows out of a genuine understanding and recognition of a need that exists, and that you've been there, and that you want to help, and that you offer that help and offer that that welcome and that attending to others. It takes humility. Remember Abraham? He fell and he bowed. Here's this great man bowing before strangers and says, "I'm your servant." That exposes a heart. Hospitality exposes a heart of humility. Arrogance and pride prevents hospitality. It simply does not go together. And if we are hindered and not being hospitable as we know we should, then let's take a hard look at our heart. Because that's where it grows from. And let's be sure and careful that we're compassionate, empathetic, and humble to serve rather than to be served. It's an expression of kindness. Well, there were people on the island of Malta when Paul and the others in that ship were wrecked. What was it, 276 were on the ship? And they broke apart and they were stranded on Malta for a time. "The natives showed us unusual kindness. They kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. They made us feel welcome." There's hospitality. And that's from people who weren't Christians. So if people who aren't Christians can make people feel welcome, God wants us to do that. Make people feel welcome. It goes on in verse 7 about Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And again in verse 10, they honored us in many ways, hospitality. And when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. They received us, they cared for us, they honored us, and they provided for us on our way. It's going to require just kindness. That's a part of hospitality. Generosity. You see the generosity of those people. It's to be without grumbling, without complaining. It's to be able to take the goods that we have and without greed, instead offering and caring for and providing for others as those needs exist. Let us do good. Let us be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Hospitality is sharing. It's about sharing with others without thought of return. Invite those who can't do the same in return, Jesus said in Luke 14. And you'll have blessing. Remember Luke 6:38? He said, give, pressed down, beaten together. Give, and it'll return to you. Good measure, pressed down, and you'll receive in return. Generosity. Remember, not greedy for money, but hospitable. Titus 1, about the elder there, the elder's qualification. So what's our pattern of hospitality? Are we sharing with family and friends and brethren and strangers? Or is our sharing limited to family and friends and brethren? Or maybe it's just with friends and family. Or maybe we really only share with family members. Or maybe really we're just unwilling to even share any of our blessings. Where are we on the thermometer? What's the measure? What's the temperature of our hospitality? See, it becomes a temperature of our heart, doesn't it? It becomes a temperature of the values we hold and our expression of them toward others. So, hospitality is about people, as this chart says. It's about people. It's not about your house or your food or the decorations or how the table is set. It's about pursuing kindness, showing generosity, showing care, offering assistance, given to that, hastening toward that, not being forgetful of that. We can all do better. There's room for improvement for us all. As we attend to our hearts, we can attend to our conduct. And we can be the hospitable people God expects us to be, God commands us to be, God says is really a part of His nature. And after all, if we're going to bear the image of Christ, then we want to conform ourselves to that image ourselves and give attention to this in our lives. I hope the study will be helpful to each one of us as we address these things in our lives. If you're not a Christian, this lesson hasn't particularly been designed about saving you from your sins, but understand that God has shown such kindness and care and mercy toward all of us because of our sin that He sent His Son to die for us. If you need to be saved from your sin this morning, now's the time. Now's the time to show the expression of your faith, to confess that He is the Son of God, to repent of your sin against Him, to be baptized for the remission of your sins, and He'll add you to His church. He'll wash your sins away. You'll be a Christian, and you can live faithfully to Him from this day forward. If there's sin as a Christian, you need to repent. You need the prayers of your brethren. Let's use this opportunity. Let's get things right with God and make things right in our lives. We can serve Him faithfully till all the days of our lives. All together we stand and sing. Won't you come?